All right, final hour of power underway. We'll take it up till 4 o'clock. The DOC then weighs in on the Team 980, Burgundy and Gold today. So, in case you're just tuning in, getting out of the office, haven't been on Twitter, haven't been listening, Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt, and offensive line coach Bobby Johnson, all gone from the 2025 Commanders. Less than a year ago in the NFC Championship game. Less than a year later, all unfit. This again, once again, proves that coaching gets blamed for everything, or most things. And while I can sit here and tell you philosophically, yeah, I see that there's issues with Cliff's system, with Joe Witt not being aggressive enough, with the offensive line at times under Bobby Johnson. I can tell you, I see it, sure. The difference is I don't blame them for everything or all of it or most of it. It is a player execution league. It is also a player procurement league. Okay? When they were looking for a GM and a head coach 2 years ago, I said the most important of those two is the general manager position. And a lot of you disagreed. Thought, oh, the head coach, the coordinators, this, that, and the other thing. You're wrong. You're always wrong about that. It is a player identification talent league, period. Then you build a scheme around them. And hopefully you stay healthy. And hopefully players learn and adjust and can figure out. Now, is coaching important? Of course. Can coaching make you better? Sure. Can you work on technique and all that stuff? Yes. But there's only so much technique you can work on when you're trying to push around Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Micah Parsons, so on and so forth. Osa Odighizawa, Kenny Clark. Like, there's only so much technique that can work. You either do it or you don't do it. And we can sit here and blame coaches from now until cows fly to Miami, which is what America's national... You know, they used to say... Baseball was America's national pastime. Mr. Baseball over there.
Yes, sir.
AMAC.
It is I.
By the way, this is what we talked about during the break, this segment of the show. Okay. They used to talk about baseball as America's national pastime. I think America's national pastime is blaming coaches for everything, for everything under the sun. And in this case, it is very clear that's what the Commanders are doing. They're saying, look, injuries were a huge thing, but outside of injuries, it was not players stepping forward. It was not players executing their assignments. It was coaches not being able to reach them. So we're going to fire certain guys because they have different philosophies than what we would ideally like, or personality, or because we felt like, hey, you know what? We took too many false starts, so we're going to blame Bobby Johnson because false starts generally fall on the offensive line. Not all, but generally. And here's the thing. Again, every team has not been able to figure it out yet that It is not about coaching. It is about player procurement and about staying healthy. And then coaching. That's it. Not reverse. Not number one. Not 1A. It is, hey, man, why wasn't your defensive line as good as it should have been this year? Well, Jerron Payne's making $24 million a year and shows up for half the games. Javon Kinlaw's making an average of $15 million a year and went from 7 sacks to 0 sacks. And, oh, by the way, they didn't do a good job stopping the run. Oh, and by the way, you get the point. And even when your unit plays pretty good, offensive line, not great, not perfect, best on the team, but you lead the league in false starts, and maybe you didn't run the ball as well as you wanted to, whatever the case might be, well, we're going to fire the offensive line coach. And again, there could be a personality conflict, I'm not sure. Bobby Johnson is a hard-charging dude. But either way, teams are never going to figure it out if they continue to focus on coaching being the number one reason why teams win and lose games. Not saying that you never make changes, not saying that you can't have different philosophies. Coaching is never, ever the number one reason why you win and lose games. Never. Never. It is not. Period. It is player talent, player availability, player execution, and then coaching. Then philosophy. And I'm sorry. I know a lot of you don't want to hear that, but that's the God's honest truth. So there you go. All right, back to the phones we go. Let's go to Chris in Maryland. What's up, Chris? How are you?
Hey, Chris, you made me change my whole thought process now, because guess what? When you're talking about coaching and doesn't matter, hey, what do you think has happened in New England? What do you think happened in Jacksonville? What do you think has happened in San Diego? I mean, Los Angeles, the Chargers. Mm-hmm. What do you think is happening to some of these teams? Well, it comes with a coach. You got to buy into your coach.
Yeah.
And you got to get the most out of players.
So
matters.
So let me ask you this, okay? All of those situations that you mentioned, and you've mentioned them before, right? I've never tried to hide from the fact that coaching, good plan, good leadership, whatever, helps. But for you to sit here and say Jacksonville, San Diego, not San Diego, yes. The Chargers.
Come on. Chargers, yes.
The Bears, right? Jacksonville. Yeah. The primary reason is coaching. I'm sorry, I just don't see it.
No, but time out. Coaching is first priority in them organizations.
How?
Let's go to my team, Atlanta. Let's go to my team, Atlanta Falcons. All the talent in the world. We had a great defensive coach, Jeff Obert, and that's who I think y'all should go after. But I believe that we had a great defensive coach. We had y'all was talking about Kyle Shanahan tree. Robinson came out of that tree. What did he do? He made us look terrible. He had all the talent in the world, but guess what? He couldn't execute. So you can have talent and be terrible, and we had plenty of talent. And that's why Raheem Moore got fired.
So you don't think the struggles had anything to do with Drake London constantly being injured, Michael Penix being injured, the right tackle being lost all year? I mean, you don't think that had anything to do with it?
No, because Elijah Wilkes, he filled in. He played great.
He's not the starter. Otherwise, he would have been the starter.
Yeah, you had Stills that came in, and they found him when Kirk Cousins got at quarterback. All of a sudden, David Stills can play wide receiver, and he looks pretty good. And he's going to probably solidify him a bag in the offseason because guess what? Coaching. It comes with coaching. I believe coaching was a lot of it. It has to do with that, too. But I want to make a point what you said earlier, too. I don't believe y'all going to get a good offensive coordinator here or defensive coordinator because Cliff Kingsbury, he probably looked at the schedule what you guys got next year. 7 out of 14 of the teams that made the playoffs this year, you have them on your schedule next year. It don't hurt to be sorry this year because you got a brutal West schedule coming up, and then you your schedule next year is brutal.
Yeah, you got to go to San Francisco. It's not as brutal as it was this year, but they got to go to San Francisco. They got to go to Arizona. But let me ask you this one more point, right? If coaching was all that mattered, why would a coach have success one year and not the next year and be so wildly bad the next year, i.e. Dan Quinn?
That's a good point.
Like, why?
That's a
why
good
would
point.
Be, because, there be so much, I guess, so much of a flip?
All right, let's go back, because you asked this question to me, and the reason why I didn't give you a good answer because I was so hungry and I had the energy, but I have the energy. Let's talk about Kansas City. Let's talk about Kansas City. We always crave on Andy Reid, right?
Yeah.
Guess what? Good coaches make good adjustments. Andy Reid, you got to make great adjustments. Good coaching make adjustments. Because, look, RG3, you had him. They wasn't used to the Pistons. Guess what? They're used to it now. As a good coach, you make an adjustment
right.
to what people are
I'm with you.
So that makes a good coaching. You got to be able to coach.
I'm with you. That's but you can make all the adjustments in the world. I mean, look at Andy Reid this year. I mean, is Andy Reid a terrible coach and didn't make adjustments because the Chiefs sucked this year? Or do we not look at the entire history and say, well, it's because they had a ton of injuries and for whatever reason, things just didn't go right. And there's a litany of reasons.
To me, I believe Andy Reid need to hang it up. You want to know why? Coaches get drained. And coaches get beat.
Sure.
Coaching takes a lot out of you.
Yes.
And I think that's what Andy Reid been beaten.
Let me give you a better example. Did Mike McDaniel become an idiot over the last 2 years in Miami when the first 2 years was unbelievable? Or is
I think
that
Mike
more...
McDaniel did a hell of a job this year.
Well, I mean, you can say that, but they had to bench Tua Tagovailoa with 3 weeks left to go in the season.
Sure,
he did a great job keeping them competitive, and they went on a 4-game winning streak and all of that. But the bottom line is they still didn't make the playoffs, still finished sub 500, and still had to bench their quarterback.
Absolutely.
My point being is Tua was leading the league in passing for 2 years, his first 2 years. And then the last 2 years, all of a sudden Mike McDaniel forgot how to call plays and organize an offense? No, it's player
Mike
related.
Mike McDaniel got the most out of Miami. He kept his team competitive. His team was in the game. They lost Tyreek Hill. They lost Waddle. But guess what?
There's a lot of coaches that your guy that you hate, Dan Quinn, keeps the competitor, the Commanders competitive, but they don't win.
Mike McDaniel's had an identity. Everybody know Mike McDaniel's going to run that ball down your rock, and you're going to do play action. He had an identity, so that's good.
That's
coaching.
Fair.
You have an identity.
That's fair, but you can have all the identities you want. Doesn't mean you're going to win. You still got to execute. I love you, Chris. I appreciate it. It's a good conversation. I got to let you go. We got a lot of calls. I love you, but. It's a good call. Let's go to Tom in Columbia next up on the Team 980. What's up, Tom? How are you? Tom? All right, Tom is not paying attention. Let's get to Mark and Chevy Chase next up. What's up, Mark? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. We were 5-12.
Yes.
Right? We were 5-12. I'll try to be really brief. Defensive coordinator I'm going after would be bring back Raheem Morris. Maybe we can get more players from Atlanta on pipeline to come up there. I love the Minnesota, the Texans, and Denver's defenses. So that's other, I don't know the coordinators, but I love those defenses this year. I watched a lot of football. Offensive side, I actually love the Chargers and the Ravens, their offenses. I'd love to get a coordinator from one of those teams, Monken, I always hear about. I love their style of football. I think it's closer to Coryell.
Yeah, let me spend a second on that. And Monken might become available because it looks like they're keeping Harbaugh and the defense coordinator over there and you know, whatever. I've watched a lot of Ravens football. Trust me, you would not like Todd Monken if you like to run the ball, if you like play action, if you like to, you know, again, you would not like. Now, you'd like some things. You would not like the overall game plan. And that's what I'm saying. I think, like, Monken, when he went to Baltimore, just to use him in his example, he's so great. He's a genius. He's this. He's that. Look at what he's doing for Lamar. And he helped Lamar become a better pocket passer. But you know what? He had flaws, and he forgot how to run the ball at times, and there's been plenty of examples of it. And my point being is now all of a sudden people think differently of him because we're putting way too much emphasis on philosophy, on coordination, on play calls, too little emphasis on actual execution.
I agree. I 100% agree. I know the Cliff Kingsbury school. I know what you're saying. I would say on offensive line, our offensive line. And, I'm upset that they had to fire these coaches. I don't want to put on blame, but maybe we'd look college for offensive line. I know Ohio State ran very good run plays throughout the season, and that goes back to Woody Hayes, which also goes back to Joe Bugle. So I agree. I totally 100% agree with you. It comes down to talent and execution in this league. You can put a coach, you know, bring the horse to the water if he drinks is another question. But I'm just trying, instead of playing the blame game, we are 5-12. We don't have these openings. So I would go with somebody like Morris or somebody, get somebody off of the Vikings staff. I mean, remember how little time Jaden kind of was injured that day, but I love that they were blitzing a lot of players, rushing the on every play, same way with the Texans, you know. So we have a lot of options, and it's going to change our scheme quite possibly. But I do think that this year we watched a team that developed better run game and better defensively after we were out of the playoff picture. So, yep.
All right,
moving
Mark,
forward,
thank you.
We're much better.
I got you. I appreciate it. Thank you. I think they were slightly improved. Defensively, I don't think they were dramatically improved. And you had, you know, they had the same defensive talent. The last couple of games under Joe Witt and Dan Quinn. And again, you can question whether Dan Quinn's a good defensive coach or not. I mean, listen, the results prove that when you give him talent, he can coach. When you don't, he can't coach. Why? Because very few people can coach when they don't have talent. Jim Schwartz is not a great defensive coordinator without Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward. And you say, well, he was elsewhere. Yeah, he had great talent elsewhere. Now, am I saying that he's not able to coordinate a defense just on his own? No, of course not. Vic Fangio was a disaster in Miami for 1 year. Goes up to Philadelphia and he wins a championship with a dominant defense. How does that happen? Did he just get smart overnight? I don't think so, guys. On the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. It's a very melancholy list of songs that you bounced back with today. Do you have like a list that says, how do we bring everybody down? How do we make everybody scratch their head and go, wait, one day he's playing upbeat too. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, we talked about this song before. But it's funny. I feel like I don't need any melancholy music to bring this crowd down today.
You think everybody's a little frustrated? Everybody's a little down?
Anger, to say the least. There's a lot of sadness too. Frustration. It's a lot.
Maybe they all need some red rum.
You know what that is?
No.
It's backwards for a word I don't want to say, but you can put that backwards. It's from the movie The Shining.
Don't know that movie either. Not a movie guy.
Wow, dude.
Movies suck. Anyway, let's get to Paulie and wrap it up on the phones here on a Tuesday. Hello, Paulie. How are you?
Hell to the W. Rufio, what's good with you, man?
Paulie, what's going on?
Yeah, I see you up here talking your usual BS.
BS. Okay.
Your usual BS.
Okay. Tell me how I'm talking my usual BS.
I'm going to start off with, who's that? Who's the Falcons fan? What's his name again? Chris?
Chris, yes. Chris in Maryland, yes.
Chris in Maryland, that was the best call of the day. Look, I'm going to say this, man. 33-33-33. Right? It's not one person or one entity to blame. 33% front office, 33% coaching, 33% players. And that's the hierarchy of that situation, all right? Because there are going to be players that's not going to be re-signed, that's going to be cut, that's going to be traded. So the blame is just not all on the coaching. But coaches are just like players, too. They need to be held accountable for a 5-12 season also. So within the coaching staff, if you're not seeing eye to eye on things, just like if you're not seeing eye to eye with a player, then it's smart to part ways.
Yeah.
Not to just come back and do the same thing over and over again.
I agree. Like,
I mean, we was a losing team. And it wasn't just one person's fault. It was everybody's fault. It was Adam Peters' fault. It was Dan Quinn and his staff's fault. And it was the players, like you said, who didn't execute what was going on fault. But we're talking about coaching now because this is the cycle. We're talking about coaches are getting fired now. All right, coaches are leaving now. We're talking about our coaching staff. You come to Cliff Kingsbury, right? He didn't want to make any adjustments. He's set in his way of what he wants to do, and it's not with the philosophy of what the team wants to do moving forward. So in that way, you part ways. Maybe it's the same thing with the O-line coach. Maybe they have a vision of what type of offense they are looking for, and it doesn't match up with the way the O-line coach maybe they want to go to a zone blocking team, which is really the Shanahan style offense.
Exactly.
Not being under center, the zone blocking run game.
But Paulie, let me just jump in and say I have mentioned all of this, but I can still have a general philosophical disagreement with how much fans, media, blame coaches for all of the problems as opposed to players or GMs or player talent or injuries or whatever. I've mentioned all of what you've said. You're absolutely right. You're not wrong. I've mentioned philosophical divide on Cliff Kingsbury, four or five different things. I've mentioned Bobby Johnson, a tough personality to deal with. I've mentioned all of that.
I didn't say he's a tough personality to deal with. I say maybe his teaching of offensive line is not conducive of what they want to do moving forward.
Okay.
And they just got rid of the offensive coordinator. Usually the offensive coordinator, one of the things he does want to pick out is his O-line coach.
Yes.
You know, they have to be paired together. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying is you just harping on culture. It's the players. It's not coaches. No, it's all of the above. We was 5-12. It wasn't just one entity that caused us to be 5-12. It was Adam Peters not bringing in sufficient talent. It was Dan Quinn not having his team ready to play, not making adjustments when he's seen the same things happening week in and week out. He didn't make any adjustments to anything until the season was done and over with, period. Same thing with Kingsbury. He didn't make any adjustments to let – you know what? You know, our receivers our receiving core is not that good right now. The strength of our team is the O-line. You know, maybe I should commit to the running game a little bit more. No, he just kept throwing and throwing and throwing, putting Jaden in harm's way, putting Mariota in harm's way. He just kept doing what he wanted to do. So it's not just one entity. It's all three facets of the team. That's why it's called a team. All right? It's complementary football. It's complementary coaching. It's complement. Everything has to complement each other, and nobody complement each other this year. And I'm taking it back to Kingsbury because he's the guy we talking about who just left. Like I always said, it wasn't just about being able to protect Jaden Daniels. Was his offense conducive in protecting a bad defense also? No, it wasn't. And evidently, he feels like, I'm not going to change what I'm doing. So if that's how he feels and they want him to change, well, he has to go.
Yeah, that's fine.
All it is.
Yeah, nobody's upset about it. Nobody's upset about it. All right, I gotta. I gotta go, Paulie. I gotta go.
W, man. Right,
bye. I gotta go. Nobody's upset. I don't think there's one soul outside of apparently Jaden Daniels and some players that are upset that Cliff Kingsbury is not going to be the offensive coordinator here. I think there was a lot of frustration because, again, they blame it on the coaches, not on the players, the coaches. That's why. Let's do a quick trending alert here, and then... Oh, we took out the trending alert. Okay. Why don't we take a final time... Not a final timeout. Why don't we come back? And I'm going to tell you who I would lean towards in terms of philosophy, and a name or two from the list that we've compiled. And I haven't even given you the defensive names. Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, let me give you a couple of names that I've gathered for defensive coordinator for the Commanders. Everybody knows the name Al Harris, Chicago Bears, former Cowboy assistant, guy who once said he'd go anywhere with DQ. They asked for permission to talk to him. They were denied by Jerry Jones. And subsequently, a year later, he was in Chicago and is still in Chicago, is still in the playoffs, is not available to interview right now, but certainly is a name that you should keep an eye on. I think everybody knows Raheem Morris. He, of course, worked under DQ in Atlanta now and replaced DQ as the interim head coach in Atlanta and was just fired as the head coach in Atlanta. But he also worked under Sean McVay, and they built and rebuilt a hell of a defense, even without and around Aaron Donald. Now, most of it was with Aaron Donald. So you have to keep that in mind. Jeff Ulbrich was also a part of DQ's Atlanta staff. He was special teams coach, and then I think he was the linebackers coach. I may have that twisted, because when Ben Kotwicka left here and went there, I think that's when Ulbrich switched to the defensive side. Former Jets defensive coordinator last year with the Falcons. He still may be under contract. We don't know. But that Falcons defense was flying this year with some good young pass rushers and some really good safeties. Jeff Ulbrich is definitely a name you should keep in mind. Let me give you a couple of other names real quickly. Gus Bradley, longtime defensive coordinator, Chargers, former Jacksonville head coach. He's bounced around to a couple of other teams. Gus Bradley is an assistant on Kyle Shanahan's staff. I think you know already. One of the lesser known, but in the industry known, bright defensive coaches that is not a coordinator, Chris Kocurek, the defensive line coach of the San Francisco 49ers. Now, he's never called plays, to my knowledge, and he's a defensive line coach, and you don't see that a lot. You don't see that a lot. But you do see it some. You used to see it more. Remember, Jim Tomsula went from defensive line coach to head coach. Right? So I can't rule it out. One of the bright, bright, well-regarded minds. If Jonathan Gannon doesn't get a head coaching job, and I can't imagine that he would, he obviously is free. Wink Martindale is a guy that, hey, he's been up at Michigan. Michigan fired their head coach because he was a fool and hired a new coach. To my knowledge, no decision has been made there. That could be a name that you think of. I think the one thing that I think, that whoever is the defensive coordinator needs to have two things. One, experience calling plays. And two, an aggressive, relentless, havoc, hybrid style that shows a lot of loaded fronts and drops people out into space and into coverage and into zones, plays man and zone well, coordinates and communicates so that there's less confusion, and somehow, some way gets guys to tackle better, and somehow, some way gets guys to understand that truly ball is life. Because you know what? After 2 years of Joe Witt, who was fired today, and even under Dan Quinn, ball wasn't life, man. Ball was not life. and they never really arrived violently. This defense needs a complete overhaul because whatever it's doing, stopping the run, stopping explosive pass plays, tackling, communicating, zone, man, stop, whatever. Whatever it's doing is not good enough. Not that it doesn't work at times, but it is not good enough even against pedestrian offenses. And you know how I know that? I was in Madrid against Miami, pedestrian. I watched the Minnesota Vikings march all over the field, pedestrian. The Philadelphia Eagles, pedestrian. The Dallas Cowboys, not pedestrian, but they lit them up like a Christmas tree on Christmas in the first half. You get the point? They need a lot. That is not the job of a first-time defensive coordinator, in my opinion. So I would look for somebody with experience, somebody that has an aggressive mindset, that does not mind blitzing six or seven, and doesn't think a blitz is always just, let's roll out five straight up and see if our five can beat their five or six or seven. That's not what this team needs. This team needs ultra-aggressive, confusing, complex, creative. This team needs Brian Flores, but they ain't getting Brian Flores. But they need the next best thing. They need to make the job of the offense a whole lot harder. And even if that means some communication issues and some things that have to work on, guess what? They've got to get smarter players then. Or better players. Because no longer can you go out there and say, yeah, we'll go get them with four. Yeah, we'll go get them with five. And let's take our chances that way. Keep everything in front of us because, you know, we don't want to allow explosive plays. No, 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 no. This team needs to be more aggressive. One other name that a fan threw out, I forget who it was, sorry, Jim Leonard, who's been a name that a lot of people have watched. I'll go one step further. I mentioned Wink Martindale. Is it possible Matt Patricia wants to come back to the NFL? The current Ohio State defensive coordinator? Is it possible? I would think. It's also a name that you should keep in mind. So, and if I had to pick one of these guys that I just mentioned, right? Jonathan Gannon, Raheem Morris, Al Harris, Jim Leonard, Jeff Albrecht, Gus Bradley, Chris Kocurek. Again, I'm looking for experience. I'm looking for aggression. I'm looking for chaos. I'm looking to dictate tempo. I would actually lean right now towards Jeff Ulbrich, the current Atlanta Falcons defensive coordinator. Don't know his contract status. Don't know if they want to keep him or not. No idea. They fired Raheem Morris, so you may not get the option. But if I had to lean towards somebody right here, right now, it'd be Jeff Ulbrich. And if I had to lean towards somebody on offense, it would be somebody from the San Francisco coaching staff. Whether that is Brian Fleury, the run game coordinator and tight ends coach of the 49ers, or my guy Leonard Hankerson. But again, first-time play callers. That's tough. That's a lot to ask. That's a lot to ask. I want somebody that has experience, because I value experience while many of you value not hiring a retread because you think somebody new, a new kid on the block, NKOTB, baby, is just going to be the end-all be-all because they have fresh ideas. What the hell if they don't know what they're doing? That's what you all thought about Joe Witt, right? How did that work? How did that work? Not very well. So that's how we wrap up that portion of the show. more tomorrow. Coming up next, dum-dum of the day. We'll keep it in the sports world. And college basketball makes an appearance on the show? Well, that's weird. I wasn't expecting that, but we'll have it for you next on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. All right, we got about 3 minutes left to go in the show. The DOC, Richard Dockwalker, is coming up, burgundy and gold today. I was just having it out with Anthony Haney in the bullpen. We were discussing breaking things down. Offensive, defensive coordinator, what he's looking for. I'm sure he will have plenty of thoughts over the next 3 hours. Make sure you stay tuned for those gentlemen. But we take it to last night. East Lansing, Michigan. I've seen the video of this. Maybe many of you have. Michigan State pounding USC by 21 points. A little over 6 minutes left to go in the game. Former Michigan State star Paul Davis was in the crowd. Second row, I believe it was. Opposite of the bench and opposite of Tom Izzo. He gets into it with the referee, Jeff Anderson, who then stops the game to talk to Izzo, saying, basically, hey, man, get control of your guy. So after Izzo and Anderson, the official, have this discussion, Izzo looks across the court, all the way across the court, at Davis, again, the former smart star, and says, with his arms up in the air, mad, what the F are you doing? What are you doing? He said after the game. An 80-51 win. You know, I love Paul Davis. He's one of my favorite guys. He's always calling and doing things. But when he said, he should have never said anywhere in the world. That ticked me off. Just because it's 25, 20 years later, I'm going to have to call him tomorrow and tell him what I thought of it. And you know what he'll say? I screwed up, coach. Sorry. He wouldn't reveal what he said. Whatever he said, for Tom Izzo to be that upset in a one-sided game, to be yelling on TV, on camera, in front of everybody, at a former alum, at a former star, tells you it's got to be really bad. Tom Izzo is pretty classy, right? I don't think many people have an issue with Tom Izzo. No?
I mean, he's classy. He's definitely a class. He's a hothead, though.
He's a hothead.
He's a hothead.
But pretty classy overall. I mean, in terms of how he's run his program for the most part.
100%, yeah.
You know, all that. Whatever Paul Davis said, not good. Here's the point, the overall point. If you're in the crowd, you don't know more than the officials. You don't know more than the coaches. I promise you, you don't. And stop talking to people like they're animals. Like they're animals that you don't like. Because most of us actually like our animals. Like they're animals you don't like. Stop being idiots. Just because you buy a ticket, just because you're a famous alum, just because your team is winning or losing, does not give you the right to verbally abuse or to say something that's so heinous that Tom Izzo wouldn't repeat it and said, just because it's 25 years later, that ticked me off. He should never say anywhere in the world what he said. Whatever that is, good enough for me. I'll trust Tom Izzo. Dum-dum of the day, Paul Davis, former Michigan State star. All right, the DOC is next. He is definitely not the dum-dum of the day. Anthony Haney alongside, thanks to AMAC. Tomorrow, Eddie Olczyk, NHL on TNT, joins us at 1:30. Cap Stars tomorrow night. TNT will have the exclusive television call, so Eddie O will join us off of the Winter Classic and before the Caps in Stores. That's tomorrow's show. We'll see you then at 1 o'clock on the Team 980, the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Adios.
Thank you.
Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.